they said, "We want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What an exciting day it was yesterday. I want to come back to the coronation in a moment. But I want to start by thinking about something slightly different. I want to think about the cross, and I want to think about this. If you were a child of the 90s, or around in the 90s, you've probably seen one of these before. They're a magic eye illusion. Can anyone worked out what it is? Who's got it? Sorry?
Planet.
It's a planet, yeah. It's Saturn. And who got it? Who got that? Who didn't get it?
Everyone's kind of... I have this theory that everyone's pretending that they can see something. So... I emailed the lady, the people from the Magic Eye Company, this very nice lady emailed me back, gave me permission to use this image today. And she said, yeah, I confessed I couldn't see it. She said, well, 95% of people, if they relax, follow the instructions, can see it within 5 minutes. Friday night, I must have been sitting there staring at this thing for 15 minutes. And I thought I could see a golf ball at the end, but then I started hallucinating. I could have been seeing anything. I can't see it. What's going on there? Isn't it a little bit like that with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, maybe someone's a Christian and they're saying, I see something glorious there. And there's someone who's not a Christian, they're looking at it going, I can see the stars. I see the squiggles. I can see what's going on. I see that Christians believe a man called Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He was tortured to death, and then Christians believe he came back to life. You know, maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. You know, it's nice for you if you believe it. I'm not going to rearrange my life around that. What's the big deal? I can't see it. All these Christians are getting so excited about it. Why are they getting so worked up about it? What's the big deal? I can't see it. Maybe you're a Christian and you kind of are looking at it from the other direction. You've got a loved one. Maybe it's your granddad or your grandma, your nana. Maybe it's your husband, your wife. Maybe it's your kids. And you long for them to see the glory at the cross. You wish they could see it. And they just can't. There's nothing there. And you, I don't know, maybe you leave Christian books strategically placed around the house. Maybe you invite them to meet your Christian friends. Maybe when you get out the car, you make sure it's tuned into a Christian radio station. So when they get in the car, they've got to listen to at least 5 seconds of the Christian radio station before they turn it off. And it doesn't seem to work. They just can't get it. Why not? And as a church, maybe we say, why can't people see how amazing Jesus is? We long for our community to know the goodness and the power of the Lord Jesus. And yet people don't seem that interested. And what are we doing wrong? Do we need to start some new ministries? Do we need to do more youth work, more children's work? Do we need to start a ministry with homeless people? Do we need to have better preaching? I mean, and no one's doubting that, but you know, do we need to have a choir? Do we need to have a drum kit? Do we need to have strobe lights? What are we doing wrong? Why can't people see this? And so I want to come to Mark chapter 10, verse 35. And the question I want to ask this morning is, can you see the glory of the King? Can you see the glory of the King? Mark chapter 10, verse 35, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Now, credit to James and John. They could see the stars. They could see the squiggles. They looked at Jesus and they knew he was a great king. They knew he was someone very important. They could see the miracles. Blind people were seeing. Deaf people were hearing. People who were lame were walking. They knew Jesus was unstoppable. He was the great king who was going to rule the world. And they wanted the positions of power and influence at his glory, at his right hand and his left hand. Now, I can relate to that because I wrote a letter to His Majesty this week. And I wrote, Dear Your Majesty, I'm really excited about your coronation. I'd love to be a part of it. Please, can I sit on your right hand or left hand side during coronation day? I get a bit confused about my left and right hand, so to be honest, I don't mind which side it is. I really want to try out your air-conditioned coach, so please can you save me the seat next to yours? And I would really like to try a delicious steak dinner. Please, could you put me next to you on the table plan? And please, can some of my friends from St. James sit with you as well? I've put together some photos to help you see how much fun it would be. So we have some photos that I thought the king might like to see of how good it would be if I could be at his right hand or his left during the service. I will just say, I didn't actually put the photos together. So I am both very grateful to John Courtauld and very cross with him, particularly for this one. I would like... I wanted some of my friends to be able to come along as well. I think they could sit at the right hand and left as well. I thought he could if he could just come and be surrounded, get a feel for how great it would be to hang out with people from St. James on his right and his left. Wouldn't that be brilliant? I'm a master of disguise. If he needed me to be inconspicuous, I could be very well disguised if we went boating or something like that. I've got other friends I could bring along too. Wouldn't it be great to sit at the king's right hand or his left during coronation day? Wouldn't that have been brilliant? If I had done, I mean, actually, in the end, I decided not to send the letter because I thought if he'd been honest, I know the king is too polite and to be this honest, but I thought he would probably write something like, "Dear Reverend Tompkins, thank you for suggesting you sit at my right or left at my coronation. I'm afraid I don't choose who sits next to me. Those places are determined by strict royal protocol. However, even if I could choose, I have approximately 68 million other subjects. I'd rather sit next to almost any of them than you, yours, King Charles." And that makes sense, doesn't it? Because it's a pretty rude question to say, can I sit at your right hand or your left? Now, James and John were close friends with Jesus already, but he had 12 other disciples. He had every right to send them a letter like this saying, "Dear James and John, get lost." But very interestingly, he didn't. Verse 38, "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they've been prepared." Now, I think it would have been pretty amazing, wouldn't it, to have had that kind of best seat in the house view, to be at King Charles's right hand or his left yesterday, because you could have seen him sitting down on that chair. And that's right. I mean, I think ours is a bit smarter, actually. I was a bit surprised at how tatty it was, but I mean, we don't have the stone, but we got everything else. I mean, but to have been there and to see him sit on the throne and to have been able to see him. I struggle with my right hand and my left, so I've got these here. Could have been on either side, right hand, left hand. Could have sat on either side. Wouldn't it have been great to have been there? When this is the closest I'm ever going to get to wearing one of these things. When the Archbishop took the crown, it was a great moment, wasn't it? It was very poignant. He put the crown on King Charles's head. To have been able to watch that would have been amazing. Then afterwards, I'm told they had a kind of family meal afterwards. Wouldn't that have been fun to have been there? I bet they had something really special. Do you think they got in, I don't know, Pizza Hut, called up the Balti, got something really nice, could have had a cup of something really special with it. I don't know, not just squash, like Ribena or something really delicious. To have been able to see all those people paying homage to the king, as everyone in the in the Abbey kind of was calling out, "God save the King," as people went down, like the Prince of Wales going down on one knee before him. That was a powerful moment, wasn't it? And then the crowds outside chanting, "God save the King." That would have been amazing to have been there, to have seen the King's glory. I wish we could have done. Can you see the King's glory? We're going to think, where do we see Jesus' glory in Mark's gospel in a moment? And the way the titles normally work is that the longer your title is, the more impressive it is, isn't it? So I looked this up yesterday. His proclamation, the King was declared Charles, by the grace of God, King of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of his other realms and territories, King, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith, Sovereign of the Most Noble Order of the Garter. Jesus' title is even simpler. It is even grander, but much simpler. He is just simply the ruler over everything. We are asking that question, can you see Jesus' glory? Can you see Jesus' glory? So if we've been at King Charles' right hand or his left hand yesterday, we'd have been able to see that glory and that splendor really, really clearly. Christians say we can see Jesus' glory. Are we just saying that? Are we just pretending? Are we just trying a bit too embarrassed to admit that there's nothing really there? And I want to ask the question, where is Jesus' glory? Where do we see that? So when you think about James and John's question, "We want to sit at your right hand and your left hand in your glory," Jesus replies, those places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. So in Mark's gospel, who gets to sit at Jesus' left hand and his right hand in his glory? Who gets to sit Jesus' left hand and his right hand in his glory? Let's have a think. Anyone, any thoughts? Is it Jesus' left hand and his right hand in his glory? What is his throne made of? What is his crown made of? Who declares him to be king? Who cries out, "God save the King"? Where do the nations proclaim him as king? What is the cup that he drinks? Serious question, not a rhetorical question. Who sits at Jesus' right hand and his left hand in his glory in Mark's gospel? Any thoughts? Stephen? Two thieves. Exactly. One at his right and one at his left. And Jesus says to the disciples, "You do not know what you're asking." You bet they didn't know what they were asking. See, what is the throne that Jesus sits on made of? It is made of wood. And he is nailed to it. What is the cup that Jesus drinks in Mark's gospel in his glory? Well, he sees it in Gethsemane and he sweats blood, drops of blood as he sees it coming. What is Jesus' crown made of? It's made of thorns. Who proclaims him to be the king? It's Pilate. Puts a notice above his head in all these different languages saying, "This is the King of the Jews." What is the role of the religious leaders? They're the ones who say, "God save the King." Matthew's gospel, they say, "Let God save him if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Think about what is Jesus' glory look like, we ask, why can people not see the glory of the Lord Jesus? It is because Jesus' glory is a magic eye kind of glory. If you look at the surface, well, what do you see? You see nothing but shame and disgrace. And we have no categories for this kind of glory where the one who goes lowest is the one who is lifted highest. And I'm not in any way trying to knock yesterday's service. It was a deeply Christian service in the best ways. The start that the King had not come to be served but to serve, that is striking, isn't it? The acknowledgement that he serves according to the law, not over it. He's not a tyrant who gets to make the law. He serves under God's law. That is a remarkable thing to say. But what does the ultimate Christian coronation look like? It looks like a man being dragged through the streets by soldiers, not to protect him, not to honor him, but to kill him. Isn't that extraordinary? If we said that Jesus' glory was his resurrection, if we said his glory was his return when he comes on the clouds to judge the world with justice, well, people around us might believe it, they might not believe it, but they could understand it. We know what that kind of glory would look like. What is the glory of the Lord Jesus? Well, if you can see his glory on the cross, it is only because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes and done a miracle. So suddenly you look at it and go, I can see it. I can see it. That is glorious. That is the greatest act, most glorious act of love in history. So as we close this bit of service, I just want to ask two questions. One thing to do, if you can see Jesus' glory, well, the call is to worship him for it, to recognize that glory. We do that as we sing together. We do that as we look to live day by day, and we look to follow that kind of glory. It just rearranges all our ideas of what is impressive and great, doesn't it? That is true glory. A man on the cross suffering so that you and I could come into his Father's family, that with him we could become members of God's family, a royal priesthood. One thing to remember, this is not a beat-up. It's not a beat-up. I want to take 99.9% of the pressure we put on ourselves as a church family off us. See, I just want to remind us, there is nothing we can do to help someone see that glory. We can't open anyone's eyes. So that beloved child, your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your mum, your dad, your grandfather, your nana, you cannot do anything to open their eyes to see that glory. We could do so much more as a church. We could be running the most extraordinary different ministries. Maybe we do need to get a drum kit. Maybe we do need some strobe lights. Maybe that would be helpful. Maybe we can leave the car radio tuned in to UCB or whatever it is. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying those are necessarily bad things to do. I'm saying in and of themselves, you could be the most perfect spouse. You could be the most perfect friend. And that will not be enough to open anyone's eyes. 99.9% of that pressure we put on ourselves, we need to take off. What is the one thing we can do is we can pray. Because to open our eyes, to see that magic eye glory of the Lord Jesus takes a miracle of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. If our prayer meetings as a church are at the wrong time, if we're trying to do it in the wrong format, do have a word. Let's see if we can find the right time for that. Let's be praying by ourselves. Let's be praying with friends. Let's be praying as a church that the Lord in his mercy would open our own eyes to see the glory of the Lord Jesus more and more clearly. Isn't that a lovely phrase there? The further away you hold the page, the deeper it becomes, the longer you look, the clearer it becomes. Don't we want that to be true for us as we look at the cross to see the glory of the Lord Jesus more clearly? And then we long for our friends to be able to see that. Amen.